the Dragonling could fly incredibly fast. With her agility of 36 and her flight enhancement of 30%, she was 4.5 times faster than when she'd first entered the land as a level 1 beast. Even back then, she'd been able to outfly half the birds in the forest. Now, she was a sleek and powerful predator, slicing through the air. Sadly, her speed didn't help nearly as much, though. Not when every second in the real world took what he guessed to be 30 to 40 seconds in the mindscape. He sat there and listened to the thuds of the undead beating against the fort's gates. In only minutes, he heard the sound of wood breaking. The undead flooded into the simple stone fort and found the inner door. Then he heard chopping noises. On the 12th dull thud, Richter saw the tip of an axe pierce the door. Guttural sounds of savagery issued from the undead, mixing with the dull thunks of their weapons striking the door. "Hurry, my love," he thought to her, but he did not actually send the message. Richter knew she was doing her best. Instead, with only the psychic equivalent of a wooden door between his mind and the lich's attack constructs, he thought about his life in the land. He reflected on the friendships he'd made, the battles he'd fought, and the people he'd freed. He thought about the mistakes that he'd committed, the horrible things that he'd done, and the moral allowances that he'd become comfortable with. He thought about Calder, and Petal, and Mama, and Sion. He thought about Alma. Richter weighed all of this in his mind and knew, as much as he'd ever known anything, that he'd been blessed. It had been a good ride. There was one reason that he was smiling slightly as the undead broke down the door. He came out of the room punching and kicking, intelligence-enhanced mental attacks, fracturing bones and splitting skulls, but his fight lasted only seconds. The undead constructs bore him to the ground and then pulled him outside, their bony fingers scoring deep in the flesh of his avatar. A minute later in the mindscape, seconds later in the real world, Richter was kneeling in the grass outside his fort and Sing stood above him. He stared up at the Eldritch Mage in defiance, still struggling to stand and break free, but the undead minions held him fast. "You will never get my name or the secrets of my past," Richter spat with pure vehemence. The lich did not waste time replying. Sing just placed a withered hand on his head and ripped his mind apart. First, the lich found his true name. This was not merely out of spite, but also because it was what he would use to bind Richter's soul to his service forever. James was a name Sing had never heard. That fact, coupled with the Chaos Seed's challenge, made him dig deeper into Richter's past. The lich was extremely confused that there was a section of the Chaos Seed's memory he could not reach. It was a formless, gray expanse that somehow accounted for only seconds of Richter's life, but also seemed to span centuries. Try as he might, Sing could not pierce the veil and access those memories. The only reason that should happen is if a magic stronger than his own opposed him, but he knew the Chaos Seed could not even begin to match his strength in thought magic. After trying several times, Sing just bypassed those memories and examined Richter's time on Earth. What he saw changed the lich's view of the world forever. After centuries devoted to magic, he saw the power of technology. He searched through Richter's mind with greater and greater urgency. An obsession formed in moments. Sing needed to see more, to know more, to understand that possibilities of science and, most importantly, to find a way to control these new pathways to power. Even technologies that did not exist on Earth might be possible when wedded to his magic. Searching the mind of the Chaos Seed, the lich was entranced by the endless possibilities, as sure as if he had been enchanted. The lich dwelt in Richter's memory for long minutes. He would have continued to do so, but a drawn-out and thudding boom disturbed him. It was possible to remain aware of both the real world and the mindscape with focus, but the lich had never been properly trained in thought magic. Eldritch magic was parasitical. It was only a perversion of the true nature of magical powers. If Sing had been properly trained, he would know the very first lesson of psychic battle, Do not let your mental focus distract you from physical dangers. It was a lesson known on Earth as, don't get dick punched while you're talking shit. Unfortunately for Singh, he had never heard either of those two pieces of wisdom, and so had fallen for Richter's simple gambit a second time. The Chaos Seed had been pretty sure a medieval fuck like the Lich would be entranced by seeing the tech on Earth. If he hadn't been, if Richter's challenge that the Lich would never know the secrets of his past hadn't worked, hadn't made the caster waste time in those memories, well, it hadn't hurt to try. The point was, it had worked. Singh had been so obsessed with what he saw in Richter's past that he had given the Chaos Seed the one thing he truly needed. The Child of Chaos had claimed one of the few higher energies greater than his namesake. He had gained time. The rumbling grew even louder, the time dilation of the mindscape distorting and elongating the sound. The fact that it was so loud that it had intruded upon the mental construct alarmed Singh. The Lich began to break their psychic connection to investigate when Richter's avatar grinned fiercely. It's too late, Singh. It's done. Eldritch light flared in the avatar's eyes.
What have you done, mortal?
He grabbed Richter's head in both hands again to rip the memories free, but this time the Chaos Seed did not resist. In fact, he almost forced one memory to the surface. Singh quickly saw that it was a recollection of what had occurred only minutes before. It began while Richter had still been kneeling with his eyes shut, just after the Lich had taken control of his body. The undead master could feel the despair that was gripping Richter's heart. He also felt the blossoming joy when a beloved voice had echoed in the Chaos Seed's mind.
I am here, master, Alma had sent.
She had shown him a view of the statue close up. She had discovered that it was made of simple stone, not the gray metal that comprised the mausoleum. She had also shared why it had taken her so long to fly to the statue. While Sion and Richter had fought the Lich, she had engaged in battles of her own. It turned out that she was not the only flyer in the cavern. Her passage had drawn the attention of spirits that roamed the air above the mausoleum. The core building completely cut her off from her life magic, meaning the only ranged attacks she could rely on were weak lightning and her psi blast. Even using her air magic was impossible because she could not risk the flare of magic giving away her position. As dozens of phantasms shrieked into attack, she had used Psi Blast on the first few, but it had barely had an effect. The disembodied spirits were much less susceptible to her psychic attack than corporeal undead like zombies and ghasts. Even if her blast had been effective, the attack had a several-minute cooldown, and the ravenous ghosts were coming from every direction. In desperation, she had flown as fast as she could, but she was surrounded. Dozens of spirits closed in on her at once. Then something wonderful happened, and she learned that evasion was not her best weapon. The dragonling had been completely hemmed in. After several seconds of pushing her agile body into extreme contortions to avoid the insubstantial undead, she had had no further way to avoid them. With anger in her small heart, she had extended her claws as the distance between her and a spirit closed to zero and had rent it to shreds. The true silver of her new armor grew warm on her scales as it protected her body from their attacks, but her forged claws were absolutely devastating. The 100% boost to damage against evil creatures had made her new armament more powerful than Richter's named weapon. As she had met that first spirit head-on, it was brought low. Her true silver claws bisected the phantom, and she flew completely through it. The remnants of the ghost faded away to nothing more than dust. With a savage glee, she had turned on the rest. The phantoms were not members of the Lich's army. They were half-mad creatures that had been attracted by the death energy of the mausoleum. The ghosts were only levels 12 to 15, well below Alma's own level, but in the land, levels weren't everything. A level 1 dragon would still destroy a level 50 rabbit any day of the week. No. In the land, levels did not always predict which creature had the most power, but in this case, they did. Alma couldn't ignore the 100-plus spirits that were trying to rend her armored body and unarmored wings, but she could destroy them. It had taken several minutes, but she'd been able to deliver the final death to more than 40 of the phantoms. She had received small cuts, and at one point her wings were almost torn, but tucking them close into her body and suddenly dropping had saved her. After so many of the ghosts were delivered the final death, even the dead learned fear and fled from the well-armored dragonling. Then she had flown straight to the statue. After circling it twice, she had found what she was looking for. The idol was gigantic, but the legs had been sculpted together to form a single base that supported the whole structure. At the carved ankles, there was a deep divot where they met. It was exactly what her master had told her to look for. That was where she placed the chemical bombs. Sing absorbed all of this information in moments, as well as the last bit of memory Richter was pushing upon him. It was a simple conversation that had happened a few minutes later, as it was counted in the mindscape. A short dialogue that had occurred while the Chaos Seed had been barricaded inside his mental fort. Sing could hear the thunking sound of his undead constructs beating through the door, but what the Lich focused on was the conversation Richter was having with his familiar.
"I have placed both devices, Master. Should I activate them?"
"Do it," Richter had commanded grimly. "But cast weak haste first. You cannot be within the radius of the explosion when it goes off." A second later, Alma frantically sent,
"I twisted the pins!"
Through her visual feed, he could see her flying as fast as possible on her newly enhanced wings. Richter hadn't sent her any other psychic messages after that, but his avatar had started talking out loud while he waited for the undead to break down the door. What kept Singh's attention was that the words were addressed to him.
"Now I'm pretty sure I'm going to be taken captive, and also that you will be able to read this memory, Singh. So let me just take a second and say, fuck you and your mother, you dried up dickless motherfucker. I mean, if you were dumb enough to let me distract you with my past, then it's already too late for you to stop our plan. Even if I wasn't able to distract you, I figure I'll just keep talking because if you're still listening, then I'm wasting even more of your time. I mean, seriously, how have you not figured this out yet? Well, I guess I'll just keep babbling away, you dusty queef. I hope you..."
Singh snatched his consciousness out of the memory and looked down at Richter's avatar with horror and panic on his undead face. Less than a second had passed in the real world since they had both perceived the beginning of the massive boom, though nearly 30 had passed in the mindscape. The sound of the boom was growing even louder.
"What have you done?"
Singh screamed at Richter. Being held down by undead constructs in the mindscape and magically restrained in the real world, his mind having been violated and his entire physical body savaged, Richter's avatar still looked up at Singh with a vicious smile on his face.
"I got you good, you fucker. Say hello to Plan B."
Another boom shook the mindscape as the second chemical bomb detonated. In a panic, Singh broke the psychic connection to devote his entire focus to what had happened while he had been distracted by Richter's memories. One moment, the Chaos Seed was being held down and the Lich's mindscape bordered his own. The next, Richter's avatar was alone, and Singh's mausoleum had vanished. His mind felt as if it were a deck of cards that had been shuffled, but his will was unyielding iron. It was time to end this. Chapter 104, Day 150, Jurin 1, 0 AOC. Richter snapped out of the mindscape less than a real-world second after the Lich. Singh was already turning towards the statue. The sound that was echoing through the cavern was deafening. Singh and Richter had snapped back into reality fast enough that they both heard the tail end of the titanic boom that had shaken the entire cavern. A billowing cloud of silver and red-orange flame was still rising into the air. The tremors from the explosion were so powerful that stalactites began to fall from the ceiling high above. A shockwave permeated the entire cave, knocking down undead and voidlings alike. The only creatures unaffected were the Devastator, Mauler, and Singh, due to a hastily summoned magic shield. Sion and Richter had no such defense and were tossed through the air. That was less important than the fact that they had control of their bodies once more. Though he was battered all to hell, Richter sent a desperate query to his familiar.
Are you all right, my love?
I will be with you soon, master, she responded fiercely. Small pieces of rock hit me, but my armor withstood it. The statue is falling!
Richter looked up to see for himself. For a moment, it looked like nothing was happening. Alma had the benefit of a view that he lacked, though. She had already glanced backward as she flew and had seen the immense damage the celestial abyssal bombs had wrought. The alcove made by the two sculpted legs had channeled the blast inward and to the sides. The ankles of the statue, many tons of heavy stone, had been reduced to rubble, dust, and two thin pillars at the back, right, and left. When she had said the statue was falling, it was because her keen eyes could see that those two compromised stands of rock were beginning to crumble. As Richter watched through her eyes, they collapsed simultaneously, and the statue dropped 40 feet but remained upright, like a tree that had part of its trunk removed all at once. There was a dull thud as it dropped straight down. What Richter had seen when he looked up was the statue balancing on the uneven base left behind. Slowly, almost delicately, it began to tip forward.
What have you done?
The lich screamed at him again. If the undead had hair, he would have been pulling it out in panic. Sing's undead face was livid, and the green fires in his eyes were so intense that they were spilling out of the sockets. Richter stood up and helped Sion to his feet as well.
I brought your fucking house down, man! I might have settled for just killing you, but your fucking coffin trap stole the soul of my friend. Doesn't matter if we die as well. That statue is going to crush your mausoleum and destroy it. You will regret ever having—
He will break the containment spell, you fool!
Sing interrupted with a panicked scream. Richter blinked in confusion, wondering if this was some trick by the lich, but then a face appeared above the ball of magical energy that had been collecting in front of the statue. The Chaos Seed realized he had seen the visage before. It was the exile Rakshasa, the same face on the statue. It was constructed of the shifting magical energy that had been accumulating in the sphere of magic.
You dare to destroy my effigy, Sing? You think so little of my gifts? Then I shall give you more than you can handle.
The voice had been so loud and so commanding that even though the exiles were sequestered from this realm, and even though they were prevented from any direct action, every creature in the cavern, from the lowest to the most powerful, had stopped and witnessed the condemnation of the powerful being. The words resonated deep within every creature. Even the allied forces on the other side of the portal were affected on a primal level. At hearing the censure of a being older and more powerful than some gods, the reactions ranged from fear to adoration to fury. All creatures paused to bear witness. Thankfully, the deafening voice dissipated. There was a moment of pure silence, and in that instant, both Richter and Sing were united in the fool's hope that Rakshasa was done. Then the swirling ball of eldritch energy doubled in size. The neon green color vanished, and it became a mixture of every magic in the land. Reds clashed with blues and were swallowed by the blue-white of thought. Demonic energy was laced with death and then exploded by angelic. Colors and magics that Richter had never conceived of were birthed and transformed in split seconds. The exile could not directly affect the world, but he could control the flow of energy he was bequeathing upon his servant. He could moderate it, or let it spiral out of control. Based on the fact that the massive ball of energy was looking decidedly less spherical, there was no doubt which had been chosen. With a flash of intense fear, Richter realized what he was looking at. A ticking bomb. If mixing a small amount of opposing magics had been enough to destroy the statue, what would happen when this globe of pure magical energy, containing dozens, if not hundreds of opposing magics, finally reached critical mass? Richter got a hint of that answer when the first beam of destruction shot out of the sphere and into the falling statue. the beam of magic was beyond comprehension. As wide as a bust, it made the energy the lich and demon had been bandying about look like thrown spears compared to a descending meteor. The statue simply ceased to exist. The descending monument, Richter's hope for both freeing Calder's soul and saving his people, was turned into pieces of stone no larger than boulders. The Chaos Seed's hopes for victory turned to ashes in his mouth. It occurred to him that he might have been wrong. Maybe the exile was actually protecting Sing in the mausoleum. Maybe Richter had misunderstood the being's words. Maybe he had lost. Richter looked at Sing, expecting to see triumph on the lich's face, but the undead had no time or attention for him. Instead, the eldritch mage was staring up at the sphere in frustrated rage. That was when Richter realized that though the statue had been destroyed, the broiling ball of magical energy was still growing. The Chaos Seed realized he'd been right the first time. The statue hadn't been destroyed to save the Lich's kingdom. It was just the casualty of Rakshasa's vengeance. The next attack was a bolt of fire magic the size of a missile shot directly at the mausoleum. The beam of angry red energy struck the sixth floor. Not even the power of a core building could withstand the raw power of the attack. Gray metal vaporized as wild magic removed 20,000 points of durability in an instant. The metal to the sides of the beam's path turned to molten slag. Hundreds of undead were rendered into atoms in an instant, and in the corner of Richter's vision, a prompt was instantly minimized to be reviewed if he survived.
No! No!
The lich cried up to the cruel face.
Do not abandon me, my master!
The response was not what Sing had wanted. Rakshasa looked down at Sing, and for the first time, but not the last, Richter saw the implacability of a godlike being's displeasure. The exile gave a simple command before disappearing.
Die!
The sphere expanded once more, spinning furiously, and bolts of magic began to fly out in every direction. One, as thick as Richter was tall, barreled directly at the roof that the companions stood upon.
Hit the deck!
Richter cried out, pulling Sion down with him. The beam of spirit and dark magic shot over their heads and struck the wall of faces. The metal barrier burst apart with a deafening clang. The force of the magic beam's impact rippled the floor of the walkway like a wave. Both companions were thrown 5 feet into the air to fall down with a heavy thud a moment later. The lich was further from the impact and was still behind his shield, but the reverberations in the floor reached him nonetheless and threw him off his feet. Richter looked at his fallen enemy with a fierce grin on his face. The wall was down. They might actually survive this. They might actually survive this! The Chaos Seed's heart filled with hope. Of course, that was when a deep rumble shook the walkway. Richter's smile turned into a wide-eyed, oh shit, face as the end of the platform began to tilt downward into the abyss.
You have to move, Master!
Alma screamed into his mind.
You think?
He shot back, scrambling to his feet.
We have to move!
He shouted to Sion.
You think?
The sprite spat. The two friends got to their feet, even ready to brave the traps if the alternative was falling into the abyss, but a voice stopped them.
You will never reach the wall alive!
Sing's snakeskin voice was thick with fury and hate as the companions turned back to regard him.
I will survive this, but you will not. Before you die, know that when I have regained my strength and rebuilt my mausoleum, I will see the hearth tree burned down to cinders. As for your village, I will rip the life from the children and raise them again as undead. The last sight your people will have is of their cherished young feasting upon their own flesh.
Richter turned towards the lich.
Well, that strikes 2 and 3 right there.
Black ice found its way into the Chaos Seed's hand, and the sprite knocked an arrow. Sing stared back, his emerald staff in hand. Mage, melee, and archer squared off as the ground continued to shake beneath their feet. The walkway had stopped shifting, but there was now a definite incline.
You two are no match for me,
Sing shouted in anger. As Alma flew into view behind the lich, Richter just told him,
You don't count so good.
With bolts of energy flying above their heads in all direction, Alma unleashed one of her own. Her most focused psi blast bathed the lich from behind. Even his shield could not block all of the deeper magic attack. Sing staggered back with a startled cry. His high mental resistance saved him from some of the effects, but not all. Begin combat log. Alma attacks Sing with level 3 Psi Blast for 4 points. Sing resists stun. Sing is disoriented. Sing resists confusion. End combat log. The damage done was negligible, but the disorient debuff made the lich stumble once more. So much so, in fact, that he broke the primary rule of magical shields and kids in church. Do not touch it. The lich's hand only grazed the boundary of his magical barrier, but that was enough. The previously invisible shield popped like a soap bubble. That was all the opening Scion needed. He couldn't risk an imbued shot with Alma still flying over the lich's head, but he had already chosen the arrow he would shoot if given the chance. There were not many left in Richter's quiver, but the Chaos Seed had been saving this one for a special occasion. The true silver arrowhead glowed golden with a life attack enchantment. The tip glistened with sun lotus poison. To Scion, time seemed to slow as he entered a perfect moment that contained only him, his weapon, and his target. The arrow string thrummed as his arrow sailed through the air, catching the lich high in the chest. Once more, the mausoleum saved Sing's unlife. Even as the poison coursed through the lich's undead body, much of the damage was transferred to his minions. More skeletons and zombies dropped lifeless, and the pain helped him shake off the disorient debuff. With a snarl, Sing pointed his staff at the companions, prepared to destroy both of them and the small dragonling. Richter had not hesitated either, though. As soon as Alma had struck, he had sprinted forward. His stat-enhanced body had raced to close the distance to the mage, but even he would not have been fast enough to bring black ice into range. That was why it was wonderful that it had never been his intention. As Sing brought his staff down to fire a magical bolt that would vaporize the companions, Richter locked eyes with his familiar. Time ceased to exist for the two of them. Not even the hint of a moment passed for everyone else, but for himself and his familiar, they lived out a lifetime. Her body turned to pure psychic energy and poured into him. Scales grew, fangs formed, and talons extended from his hands. They both became more, but also became one. To Sing and Scion, Richter transitioned in an instant. The lich's eyes began to widen in realization. From the Chaos Seed's memories, he knew Richter could trigger a powerful breath attack in his dragon form, but the lich had not survived centuries without being formidable. In an act that was as much reflex as choice, Sing summoned a magical barrier. It was not nearly as powerful as his previous defenses, and it only protected him on one side like a forged shield, but it was nearly an instant cast, something that was only possible thanks to an expensive mage talent. It had saved his unlife before and should let him weather at least the worst of Richter's attack. Sing turned sideways and bent down to ensure his entire body was hidden behind his barrier of eldritch magic and to present the smallest profile possible. Once more, his staff remained upright and to the side. The moment the Chaos Seed's flames were spent, he would summon the artifact to his hand, and then he would render his enemies unto dust. Sing's plan would have worked, if not for one small problem. The lich was not Richter's target. Richter's Meseji form exhaled a powerful gout of near-invisible flame. The attack normally dealt 50 to 100 points of damage per second, but that was increased by a factor of 5 when items were targeted. Even that might not have been enough, but Alma knew this attack was all or nothing. She used the last points from her absorbed psi crystals to increase the damage of Richter's fire to more than 1,000 points per second. All their wrath and fury poured onto the emerald head of the Lich's staff, and the artifact began to burn. In the first second, the entire staff began to blacken in the invisible flame. In the next, the emerald centerpiece developed the faintest of cracks. The Lich saw his mistake and summoned it to hand. Even then, he could not hide it completely behind his small shield. Instead, he began a counterattack. He leveled the staff at Richter's dragon form and triggered a deadly beam of eldritch light, but the damage was already done. Another arrow fired by Sion broke apart on the Lich's magic shield. Sing did not even notice. His attention was focused on a crack in the giant emerald, a flaw that had already widened to the length of a palm in the third second of Richter's flame attack. The eldritch magic Sing was trying to command leaked out of the breach in the powerful item. Sing howled in anger yet again. To Richter's profound surprise, the Lich then threw the priceless staff over the side of the walkway. Though he was an enchanter, there were still many things he did not know about his profession. One of those truths was that there were few things more dangerous than channeling massive amounts of power through a flawed item. He soon learned the danger, though, when the staff exploded before it had even cleared the side of the walkway. As soon as the artifact had left his undead fingers, Sing had summoned another near-instant shield, but he was still too close to the epicenter of the detonation. The blast expanded outward in a sphere, crumpling his magic barrier like tissue paper. Sing did not even have time to scream as the energy blasted him to the other side of the walkway. Richter was laid low as well. Though not as close, the destruction of the artifact-level item, coupled with the energy Sing had been channeling through it, was enough to blacken his scales and blind him in one eye. Even Sion was thrown backward, his unprotected head striking the metal ground of the mausoleum's roof and rendering him senseless. The core building continued to shake as more bolts of destructive power struck it, and the fate of kingdoms balanced on a knife's edge. Chapter 105, Day 150, Jurin 1, 0 AOC. Above them, the ball of magical energy continued to expand and indiscriminately fire magic in every direction. The exile's power had struck the mausoleum more than 100 times, and each attack had destroyed more of the core building. Only a quarter of its durability remained. The magical beams had struck the undead and voidlings as well. The undead's army had been hit 3 times, and thousands had been slain. One narrow bolt of earth magic had also cut through the Devastator skeleton's knee. Both it and the Mauler had suffered during their fight, but that strike drove the undead to the ground. The void creature was now atop the colossal undead and was pulling it apart piece by piece. It slavered and howled in triumph, though its own body had also suffered grievous wounds. Unknown to Richter, the battle had continued to rage in the dungeon. Undead had poured in through the portal in waves. Each was repelled by the allied forces of the Mist Village and Hearthtree, but at a high cost in lives and resources. The arrows, mana, and potions of the allied forces were not unlimited, and the red stone pillars of the dungeon provided perfect bulwarks for the undead to hide behind. It was during the fourth wave that several rogue ghasts climbed the stone walls of the Barbican and began to lay waste to the sprite archers. 10 Maedon and wood sprites died before the last rogue suffered the final death. The undead that had crested the battlements were defeated, but the damage was done. Without the defenders' imbued arrows attacking the invaders, the undead mages had been able to complete a powerful spell that destroyed the portcullis. The surviving allies atop the parapet continued to fire down at the melee undead that now stormed the outer courtyard, but they could not withstand the return fire of dozens of undead archers and casters that attacked without fear for their own unnatural lives. The sprites atop the walls fought to the very last, but the 20 men and women could not hold. As the last wounded sprites were dragged down the stairs into the inner room of the Barbican, the undead army began hacking at the wooden door that protected its last line of defense. Only two things saved the Allied forces from being overwhelmed in that moment. One, Roswan triggered one of the Barbican's hidden defenses. An 11-inch thick slab of marbled quartz dropped down to protect the door to the inner room with a resounding thud. The falling stone crushed three skeletal warriors beneath it. Even that defense would not last forever, though. The larger undead beasts Richter had seen in Nian's memory had come through the portal as well. It was not long before a 4-ton scaled creature that stood 10 feet at the shoulder ran at the stone slab and rammed it with its horns. While it bounced back from its first attack, it was not dazed in the slightest and just backed up to attack again. The third time it slammed into the stone, cracks appeared in the marbled quartz. The fifth blow made dinner plate-sized flakes of stone fall to the ground. The people of the tree and mist began to organize a retreat through the shimmering portal that led to the entrance chamber. They all knew the Barbican's defenses would not last more than minutes, and thought it better to continue the fight behind the village walls and moat than to be slaughtered in the dungeon. Through it all, Roswan stood silently in the corner, letting the fighters work, ready to do his part. If the inner room was breached, he would drop the second stone slab, protecting the portal to the entrance chamber. No one else, not even Richter, knew that the Barbican's last defense could only be triggered from inside the room. The elf planned to rush to a node and hopefully teleport to safety once it was done, but he knew he might not make it. That did not deter him. He was Roswan. He would see the job done. The defenses of the Barbican saved lives, but there was a second factor that helped the Allied forces survive. The undead did not come through the portal alone. Several hundred voidlings had been created by the Void Mauler's chains of dominance. Most remained with their new master to fight the Devastator and the thousands of undead still with it, but dozens had poured into the dungeon. They fought the undead, motivated not by any desire to preserve the living, but because they reviled everything that was not themselves so perfectly that there was no room for shades of hate. Both the living and dead were their enemies, and the voidlings would destroy or be destroyed. There were no other options. The implacable undead fought back, sometimes literally with tooth and nail, but also with magic and weaponry. The voidlings would fall occasionally, but always took several undead with them. The dungeon had become a symphony of pain and death, and through it all, the throbbing heart of the Barrow rejoiced. The energy flowing into it was so much more varied than anything it had ever tasted before. The Bloodstone dungeon was barely sentient, and had a much harder time processing sensations with its harbinger gone, but a memory of a dark-skinned man present at its transformation rose to its mind. If it had known what gratitude was, it would have felt it for this man. It would have thanked him for the cornucopia of rare pleasures and energies that it was now able to feast upon. The black creatures filled with rage were especially interesting. The dungeon had to struggle with a concept until it came up with the word taste, but it felt the term to be right. They did not taste as good as the red blood bags, but the purity of their magic was helping it advance one of its motivations. It wondered briefly at the significance of the void magic that was beginning to be awakened in it, but such considerations were currently beyond its comprehension. Instead, it contented itself with the gifts it was being given. Not only was life energy being released by the deaths of so many creatures, but items as well. The dungeon had a much lower chance of learning and reproducing items gained in this way, as opposed to anything dropped in the Well of Offering, where it had a 100% retention rate. Still, it gained many interesting imprints of items, weapons, and armor. Even more fascinating to it were the bodies of the undead. By degrading those quickly, it learned the intricacies of their forms and natures in a way that only a dungeon could. Far back in the evolution of the labyrinth, it had developed the ability to understand the true essence of the life forms it consumed. The level of understanding put Richter's analyze skill to shame. Just as parents passed on traits to their children, dungeons gained traits from the labyrinth. Some were stronger and some weaker in various traits, The barrow of the Chaos Serpent was innately strong in its ability to understand its victims. Ghasts, vampires, zombies, skeletons, and other types of undead were absorbed and processed. The dungeon learned about not only the structural composition of the undead's bodies, but their strengths and weaknesses as well. The barrow also learned what the creatures had been like in life. Sing's army was comprised of dwarves, humans, orcs, ogres, naiads, centaurs, beastkin, and many other sapient races. The dungeon learned them all. The beastkin were especially interesting, as their forms were so very similar to the creatures the dungeon could already spawn. It immediately tried to do so, but found that they were not beast enough to fit within the spectrum of monsters the barrow could make. If the dungeon could have felt disappointed, it would not have done so for long. In addition to the sapient beings that had been turned into undead slaves, there were animals and beasts in the Lich's army. Mixed in with the professional warriors, mages, and rogues were stone spiders, cave wargs, and hand-sized scorpions that injected acid strong enough to melt rock. After absorbing one, the dungeon learned they were called albinid pincers. It learned to make these beasts and many more as they died inside of it. One form in particular confused it. The bones of the skeleton were much harder, and the minute structures that formed them seemed to have been replaced by rock. The creature had components that reminded the dungeon of both beastkin and beast. It walked on 2 feet and held weapons like most of the small creatures, releasing their energy, but the dungeon was fairly sure it could make this creature in time. The battle continued and the dungeon shot up in levels. 4, 5, 6, and 7 came and went as more undead and voidlings were destroyed. It glutted on the energy being released, and it began to feel something strange. The dungeon's awareness was too rudimentary to even consider the implications of what it was about to do, and even scholars could not have said why the barrow did what came next. Perhaps it was merely fulfilling the dictates of Richter's call of the dungeon. Perhaps it was self-motivated to protect its master. It was even possible that vestiges of the Bloodstone's consciousness felt gratitude at the feast it was being offered. But whatever the reason, the dungeon performed 2 actions to preserve the people of the Mist and Tree. The barrow of the Chaos Serpent had used its blood nature many times. The deeper magic manifested when the dungeon grew monsters, absorbed spilled blood, and performed several other instinctual actions. Until now, however, it had ignored and neglected an even greater reservoir of power, the higher energy of chaos. It did not understand the power. It had felt that the infinite possibilities of the roiling gray energy seemed as likely to hurt as help. Now, it turned its focus to that side of its nature like a baby examining its legs for the first time. On an instinctual level, it reached within itself and felt the chaos that dwelt there. The dungeon did not try to force a specific outcome. Such a thing went against the very nature of chaos, and the barrow lacked the requisite cognition to even try. Instead, it searched deep within itself and by feel alone twanged a single string of infinite possibility. The exertion to reach that side of its nature exhausted the dungeon's fledgling consciousness, and it sank into a pleased torpor as it continued to feed on both the people of the Mist and Tree and their enemies alike. Though the dungeon did not know it, its effort had made 2 small but vital changes. The first was that the gateway to the mausoleum shifted slightly. Rather than running perpendicular to the sphere of destructive energy above the core building, it now angled upward and faced it directly. That small change would shape the destiny of many. The second effect was that a tendril of chaos magic, as thin as a pine needle, snaked out of the walls and across the ceiling of the dungeon. It stopped when it found a small chrysalis. The creature inside awakened from her magical slumber and flew through the portal. Her mindless instinct drove her to find a strong creature to bond with. As the lich's staff exploded, she raced to the top of the mausoleum. With every flap of her small wings, she could feel the essence of the one she sought growing closer. Chapter 106, Day 150, Jurin 1, 0, AOC.
Master! Master! Master!
Richter came back to himself, blinking. He sat up with a wince. When he had formed the Meseji, his draconian body had been fully healed. That freedom from pain had been a profound relief. The staff's explosion had fixed that. It was a strange situation, spitting with such sharp teeth, but the gobbet that shot out of his mouth was bloody. He looked around, his head still spinning. Why did he feel like he was falling?
Master! The walkway is collapsing!
That got through to him. His mind cleared and he realized that he wasn't falling. The walkway was. Accompanied by the horrible sound of shearing metal, the ground Richter was sitting on tilted even further downward. Before the staff exploded, the angle had only been about 15 degrees. Now it was closer to 40, and the end of the walkway was dropping further every second. He stumbled to his feet. Even after losing consciousness, he had managed to keep black ice in his hand. Richter's eyes fell upon the body of the Lich. Smoke was rising from what was left of Sing's body. The Lich's left arm was missing, as well as some of his face. That entire side of the undead's body was charred. The once powerful king of a soon-to-be-extinct kingdom was laid low. Richter's hand tightened on the grip of his named weapon, and he stared at the mage with actual hate in his heart. It still wasn't enough. He took a step towards the undead caster, but then another bolt of energy hit the mausoleum. The end of the walkway dropped another 20 feet, and the angle of the dangling walkway increased from 40 degrees to almost 60. It also began to tip to the side. The lich's body slid somewhat before stopping, and Richter had to struggle to keep his feet. None of that would have forestalled his vengeance, but something else happened that almost made his heart stop. He saw that Sion's unconscious body was sliding down into the side, inching ever closer to the abyss. In that split second of decision, Richter made a choice. The same choice he had made in the tunnels beneath Law so many months ago. He chose to preserve the life of a friend rather than ensure the death of an enemy. In a move he barely thought about, in under a second, Richter had spun black ice above his head and sheathed it. As he turned to sprint up the collapsing walkway, another prompt appeared and was automatically minimized to be read later. The KSC did not notice. He had to save Sion. The rumbling continued, not just in the walkway, but through the entire mausoleum as it lost structural integrity. Great rents could be seen in the core building where the rays of destructive magic had struck it. Hundreds of undead had fallen into the abyss, and more than half of the Lich's army had been destroyed. The voidlings and death creatures continued their battle, neither side concerned with their own preservation. They were true lessons in hate, creatures that would let the world collapse around them if only they could see their enemies die along with it. High above on the roof, Richter used cloud running. His feet set down after each glide, but the jumps let him climb the falling ramp much faster than running alone. Sion continued to slip towards the edge, but Richter got to him in time. The back of the sprite's head had left a bloody smear across the metal ground as he'd slid. His friend breathed, but would not wake up, even when Richter shook him. Analyze showed that Sion had less than 100 life left. In that moment, the Chaos Seed realized that the only thing that mattered was saving his best friend's life. The battle, his hatred of the Lich, it was all less important than the man he trusted above all others. Richter picked up Sion with one hand and left the Lich to his fate. He started running with his comrade thrown over his shoulder. It was time to go home. He was almost to the gap in the wall when his body was surrounded by eldritch fire and his mind exploded in pain. Richter fell down with a scream. Sion's body spilled out on the ground beside him. They had almost reached the opening in the wall of faces, and for a moment he had thought it was all going to be all right. Now that he was closer to the end of the walkway, he'd been able to see through the rent in the metal wall, and for once, fate seemed to be on his side. The beam of energy that had wrecked the barrier had continued through it and burned into the trap floor as well. Most of the ground beyond the wall was just ruined metal. The traps had been destroyed. they would have made it to safety, if not for the Lich. The Chaos Seed felt his immobilized body being lifted into the air on ropes of magic. When he was turned around, his draconian face was only inches from the undead master's green fire eyes. The furthest part of Sing's eye socket had been destroyed, but the ball of flame within it remained intact. The Lich's words almost dripped ichor.
"You thought you would run to safety?"
Sing's eyes burned into Richter's.
"No,"
he pronounced with the finality of the grave.
"There is no safety."
His voice had become even more unnatural after the injuries he'd suffered. Neon green light began to surround Sing's remaining hand as it wove unfamiliar spell forms. Richter tried to struggle free, but he had no more control of his body than the last time he'd been under the Lich's thrall. Sion still lay unconscious and bleeding on the ground. In desperation, he even tried to force a psychic battle with Sing, thinking that in his Maseji form, he just might be strong enough. Though he met the Lich's eyes, however, Richter could not even force the mental bond. His mind ran into the barrier of the mage's mental defenses and was stopped cold. All the Chaos Seed could do was watch as the Lich enacted his vengeance. The gold light of poison had stopped spreading through the caster's body, and though he'd been hurt badly and his staff had been destroyed, the master still clung to his otherworldly life. Another beam of energy struck the fourth floor of the mausoleum, and the core building groaned in response. The furious mage did not stop. With a final guttural word of power, the eldritch light on his hand lengthened into a blade of fell magic.
"You thought your new body would protect you or give you the power to destroy my mind?"
The fires in Sing's eyes burned brighter, and the next word was thick with hate and judgment.
"No."
The Lich swung his hand forward, and the fell blade of eldritch thought magic cut through Richter's body. It did not physically harm him. It did something much worse. The Maseji bond between him and Alma was severed, and they were ripped apart. A pain worse than anything they had ever experienced permeated their minds, bodies, and souls. Alma's essence left his body in a torrent of blue light, and Richter transformed back into a human. This was not the end of Sing's retribution. The Lich cast a containment spell of pure eldritch thought magic, and a sphere of green appeared around Alma's essence. Not only did it keep her imprisoned, but it kept her body in an ethereal state of psychic energy. Alma was a creature born of thought magic, but she was never meant to be incorporeal for an extended period. Sing watched her dispassionately as she began to take damage from being in a disembodied state for too long. The sphere of wild magic above them expanded again. This time, Richter could not even control his body enough to scream, but his pupils widened in unexpressed pain. Slowly, the Lich turned his ruined face to regard him before speaking once more.
"You thought your ability to be reborn would protect you?"
The fires in the Lich's face burned brighter than ever before.
"No,"
Sing spat before chanting once again. Alma screamed inside of Richter's head as she was tortured inside of the containment sphere. Once again, all he could do was stare at Sing as the Lich completed another spell. The Chaos Seed had never known hatred so intense in either of his lives. Something deep inside of him strained against chains that were weaker than they had ever been. Sing stared back at him as the Lich's hand was enveloped in green flames. Disgusting words of power spilled from the undead's disfigured mouth and filled Richter's ears until seconds later when the caster slammed his burning hand onto the Chaos Seed's face. The magic took root in Richter's soul. A prompt filled Richter's gaze, unbidden. "You are cursed. The Lich Sing has cursed you with the curse of eternal servitude. If you die before this is removed, you shall not be resurrected. Your soul shall not pass on. You will serve the Lich until he himself suffers the final death, and even then, you will be bound to this plane. You will wander as a mindless shade, hiding in the darkest corners of the land, never to know peace or succor. You shall be damned.
You thought you would save your people?
Sing screamed into Richter's face.
No! You cannot even save this one!
The lich cast a spell, and eldritch light surrounded Sion's body. The sprite rose into the air. As the lich continued to vomit words of power, rents opened in the sprite's armor, flesh, and bone. Blood fell to the ground in wet splashes, and Richter screamed inside of his own head. He had lost, and Sion was about to pay the price. Then something unexpected happened. As was the case in many great tales, the fates of all were determined by the actions of a small and most unlikely creature. A bolt of primal magic, laced with gravity, struck the mausoleum its death blow at the same moment that a Sakaru life pixie flying faster than the eye could track struck Sing in the face. It was not an attack. It was an attempt to bond with a powerful creature that was the opposite of her element. In time, the eldritch mage could have used her celestial nature to gain power beyond his wildest dreams. In that key moment, however, the lich lost control of all the magic he was employing. Richter's paralysis vanished. Sion dropped to the ground, screaming, his health dropping more with every moment. Alma was released from the containment spell, and her body reformed in an instant, but she dropped senseless to the ground. Only time would tell the full effect of the psychic wounds she had suffered. And Richter? Richter unleashed all his rage on a mage that was finally defenseless and within reach. With a savage scream of rage and pain and the growl of a monster, he stood and unsheathed black ice. In the same motion, he swung his sword in a perfectly executed sword form, for the first time, not even needing to think about the attack prior to executing it. Another prompt appeared and was minimized without his notice as the blade flew true. The edge of the named weapon struck the side of Sing's neck and passed through with barely a pause. The lich's head flew free the instant after that. The life pixie child that had started to bond to the undead tumbled through the air as well. As she hit the ground, one of her delicate wings was crushed. The head bounced twice on the ground before tumbling out into the abyss. Once, Richter would have hesitated to strike with an innocent at risk. Once, he would have dove after the head in a vain attempt to save the child. But in that moment, witnessed by no exile, god, or man, Richter just grinned at the falling corpse of his enemy as it suffered the final death. So ended the story of Sing the Lich, and a pixie child so young that she would never be named. Chapter 107, Day 150, Jurin 1, 0, AOC. Several things happened at once. The undead split into two broad factions, those that were mindless and those that were sapient. The voidlings continued to attack both sides indiscriminately, but the ghasts, vampires, draugr, and several other self-aware death species looked around in astonishment. They were finally free after centuries of captivity. They had to keep fighting against both the mindless undead and the voidlings, but they fled the battlefield as quickly as they could. The portal also began to flicker. The lich had invested it with a great deal of energy from the mausoleum to keep it stable, but now that well had run dry. It would remain open for a while longer on the reserves it had, but it already had begun to shrink, and soon it would vanish altogether. More importantly, two prompts appeared in Richter's vision. Know this, the caster of your curse of eternal servitude has been slain. His death has greatly weakened the curse, but has not broken it. You may now be cleansed of it with the appropriate magic. If you cannot find such a spell, the curse will fade in 7 days. You are no longer at risk of becoming a servant. If you die before the curse is removed, however, you will not be reborn. You will be bound to this plane. You will wander as a mindless shade, hiding in the darkest corners of the land, never to know peace or succor. You shall be damned. Another fucking countdown. It was good news of a sort, but Richter was insanely tired of other people having power over his life. There wasn't the time to worry about it, though. The next prompt changed everything. Know this.